was the fact that she was an overcomer. And I don't remember who it was that really gave me all the historical details. It may have been Great-Grandma Billings, because I remember even talking to Great-Grandma Billings about this. But at age 7, I believe it was, she had scarlet fever. And she lost all her hearing in one ear, and only had 30% hearing in the other ear, and all her hair fell out. And so at first, of course, this seems like a total disaster. I mean, how any of us recover and as far as being able to make social development and so on. But she was an overcomer, and she learned how to function. She learned how to read lips. To such an extent that she graduated from college, eventually, even though she was so humble that she didn't think she had earned a degree because she dropped out, left college to be a Red Cross volunteer, basically a social worker, helping people. But I believe that her emotional gifts came from the fact that she, sort of like Helen Keller, she had to struggle to overcome this communications barrier, and she triumphed over that. And often, in a room where we would all be talking at the same time, for a moment she'd look confused, but then she'd zero in on something and she'd go right to the focus of whatever the conversation was about, almost as though she could hear better than we could. And I thought that was kind of amazing, you know, that here she had only 30% hearing and she was getting by reading lips, but she was so successful. Not just in terms of communication, but intellectually, she was very successful. And then she kept developing. Like, when she reached middle age, she began getting interested in transactional analysis. She sent me a copy of Born to Win. I think several of you probably received that book. And she taught us in our young minds about transactional analysis and what it was. And she thought this was important. Also, she was a musician. She loved to sing, and she played the recorder. And I remember she took up the recorder with a vengeance. It was as though she was going to perform on that thing. And she had music, and she subscribed me to some magazine where they published sheet music every month. And I remember, you know, that she always took an interest. But the thing that sticks out the most in my mind over all the years that I knew her was, when we would go to Buffalo, I always felt at home, and the beds were always very tight. And you get into that bed, I slept in the basement, and there was this wolf skin that my great uncle had killed. And it frightened me, but she took a concern for that, and other people took a concern for it, and when I would go sleep there, they would take the time to move that wolf pelt, so I didn't have to look at that smiling taxidermist's face when I was falling asleep. But she made me feel at home, you know, even as very young. And then when our parents split up and we divorced my mom, or she divorced you, depending on how you look at it, then they became a support structure for the three kids. We would go there, and we felt, you know, that there was continuity, you know, that at least I felt that way. And I felt that they never abandoned us, no matter what, no matter what was going on in our lives. She represented stability. And it's almost like, well, Granddad was the intellectual masculine side, and she was the feminine, emotional, spiritual side of the couple. And without her, then it's not the same, obviously. We lose touch with that glue that held us all together. But most of all, I just admired her as an individual, as an overcomer. Somebody that didn't let the disability of being hard of hearing hurt her life. In fact, if anything, her life became richer because she developed the ability to identify with the disabled and the people that had difficulty. And she turned that hearing disability into a strength because she used it to understand how to empathize with people. And I thought that was just a very strong influence on the family. Another thing I wanted to say is that I remember hearing that she and Granddad met at a Unitarian church because they would both, they liked the sermons, and they would purchase the sermons or pick up the sermon in the transcription, and they would discuss it. And so it's very appropriate for you to be here probably for that reason. Because even though we're an eclectic family, we have Buddhists represented here, we have Christians represented, atheists and agnostics and Unitarians, the Unitarian umbrella covers all of us, and Grandma Jen made us understand that. And so, for example, when I came here with Jackie, who was my girlfriend at the time, who was a devout Christian, Grandma took out the Bible and they sat down, and while we hiked up the hill, they looked at the Bible, and there was a communion. She just felt welcomed. She never felt disenfranchised in any way. So I always admired that about Grandma, how she always drew a circle that included everybody. In fact, there's a poem I remember, some of you probably know this, I think it's by Edmund Markham, it goes like this. He drew a circle that shut us out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. I think that poem sort of sums up the way she lived her life.
I will just say, toast, John, Hexy Collie, Mary Jane, Sparkle G.
Very good.
All
right. She used to ask me to play, and she used to like it when Granddad asked me to play jazz.
Oh, no, no, no.